Well, I had to put all the Uncle George records I memorized. So, I got a couple little stories that happened when I was a young father, and one about his overseas, one's about 17, so I'll tell you those two stories, and that'll be about all the time I have to finish the tape. So, this first story, I was about 17 years old, and I used to make ox yokes that time, travel around the country. I went to trade with an older man, and I got word one time to go out from Dalhousie, about 23 miles from home, a certain day, and make this man an ox yoke. So I left that morning early. I had 23 miles to walk, and I arrived that night about 5 o'clock, and when I got there, they were waiting supper for me. And this farmer, he was about 45 years old, and his wife was about 30. She was a very fine-looking woman, and she had long, black, wavy hair hanging down over her shoulders, and she had a very beautiful figure, and she had a slow smile that would melt the heart of a polar bear, and she had a chest on her that looked like the headlights on a Buick. Well, she was a wonderful cook. We had a wonderful supper. We had baked beans and raw sauerkraut and cold meat and hashed potatoes and mince pie, some donuts and cookies. So her beans was the best beans that I had ever eaten. So I we complimented her that night over the table. I said, "This is the best beans that I had ever eaten." I said, "I had eaten quite a lot of beans, but I said, I've never eaten any beans that tasted like yours." Well, she said, "Thank you, Mr. Riley." She said, "Well, you like the beans, and I'll put them on the back of the stove, and you can have the rest for breakfast in the morning." I said, "Okay, well, that would be fine." And I'll ask you to keep these beans in mind, because they're going to play an important part in the story later on. Well, after supper, we went out to the barn, and the old fellow had to do the chores, and I got the oak wood out, and I measured the oxen's heads, and I marked the oak wood out, ready to start the oak in the morning, and helped him finish do the chores. And we got done about 9 o'clock, and we went in the house and we sat there and talked about farming and cattle till 10 o'clock. And when it come 10 o'clock, he said, "Well, it's 10 o'clock. It's our bedtime." He said, "You must be tired," he said, "walking here today." And I said, "Yeah, my legs are tired." "Well," he said, "we go to bed 10 o'clock. But," he said, "I'm sorry," he said, "we don't have a spare bed." He said, "You'll have to sleep in the bed with us." And I said, "Oh, well, that's all right, thanks, but I can sleep right here on the couch in the kitchen." "No," he said, "you won't be sleeping on the couch." He said, "we got a large bed, and you can sleep in the bed with us." Well, I was sitting one end of the table, and his wife was sitting the other end, sewing or doing something by the lamplight. And so I turned to her, and I said, "It's all right, sleep in the bed." And she looked up at me, and I saw a funny gleam come in her eyes, and I didn't know. I thought it was eye strength and sewing there in the lamplight. And she smiled, and she said, "Yes, it'd be fine." Well, he said, "We'll go to bed first." And he said, "When we're ready, we'll holler for you." And I said, "Okay." So the kitchen, where I was sitting, I had a grate by the stove, and the bedroom door was right off the edge of the kitchen. So I lined her up to get her lined up so she wouldn't fall over that hot stove in the dark. They took this old kerosene lamp with them. And they went in bed and shut the door, and after Wally Hard, "All right." Well, I got up in the dark, and I felt my way over, and I found the bedroom door, and I went in, and I fumbled around, and I found the bed, and I sat down on the bed and undressed, and I crawled in bed. Well, those days, all we had for beds, we had no springs or mattresses. We just had what they call an old rope-corded bed with a straw tick, which was made out of flour bags and filled with oat straw. And that was a mattress. So if you never slept in one of those old corded beds before, well, the only way you'd get to sleep in one of them was stop breathing, because every time you breathe, this old bed would squeak and whistle and moan and groan. And I used to stop breathing for maybe 5 minutes, and then I'd go to sleep. But I was tired and I wanted to go to sleep, so she wouldn't lay still. She was over the back of the bed, and he was in the middle, and she kept twisting and turning and sighing and yawning. And that old bed was a squeaking and groaning like an old horse having a tooth pulled. Well, we'd been in bed about 15 minutes. She said to her husband, "John," she said, "I hear a noise down in the barn." He said, "I don't hear any noise." Well, she said, "I do." So he said, "Do you hear a noise, Riley?" And I said, "No, I don't hear a noise." But she said, "I hear a noise down the barn." She said, Pat sums the cattle, says, you better go down and have a look. He said, all right. Well, he crawled over me in the dark, and he fumbled around, got his clothes, and he dressed, and he went out in the kitchen, he fumbled around and got this old lantern, and he lit the lantern, and he started for the barn. And just as he was going out the door, she said to me, now's your chance, now's your chance. So I got up and went out in the kitchen, finished eating the beans. And you know, it was years later before I learned she didn't want me to eat those beans.